The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But a lot of times, man, the weather cooperates like it did yesterday, and you can be out and enjoy. And I know all you snowbirds and folks from the Northeast and the Midwest, you're used to it. But, like, yesterday was like a perfect Christmas. I mean, it was the temperature was perfect. You could do what you wanted to outside. If you said barbecue, whatever. I totally agree, man. And the crazy thing is, like, Michelle found – so I'm a big connoisseur of bourbons and obviously, you know, scotches and stuff. Now, I collect this stuff. So there are bottles that I have, Randy, and, you know, you may have this where, like – if you have something that somebody's given you or whatever, you take a sip, you take, you know, an ounce or two, and then you put it away and you forget sometimes you have it. So she's recently made me put out all this stuff so that I know I have it, because she's like, don't you have that downstairs? So bottom line is she found one of the whiskeys of the year nominees, or I think it was one of the top whiskeys that I had been talking about, and I could not find it. So to your point, you know, I kind of dove in yesterday after we opened our gifts. And had a really good day, man. But I'm glad everybody's here, and we hope that you had a fun and safe holiday. It's not over. We're going to bring in the new year, and then obviously everybody's going to have a prosperous 2025. But we do have a lot of stuff to get to, because the Falcons have the biggest game of the season in front of them with the rookie quarterback starting in Michael Penix. And before we get into any of that stuff, and we're going to talk to Coach today, by the way. Normally we do it on Wednesdays. Duh, yesterday was Christmas. So we pushed it back a day, so Coach Raheem Morris will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And also we will talk to Big Zach Harrison coming up at 3:45, and we'll get a chance to chop it up with him about this defense and what's been going on. But yesterday, I'm curious, and you know, I know you had all the kids home, and it was great. Did you watch the football, or did you watch the basketball?
Actually, watch both.
Okay.
Spent more time watching the football early. Obviously, you wait for LeBron and them to come on. But I was impressed watching Wimby in Madison Square Garden. Carl, this dude is different. 40-something points yesterday, man. This dude is just – he's just a different – and we ain't never seen nothing like him to be as big as he is, to be as athletic. The handle we were talking about is a couple of weeks ago when he got – Sham got a dude in the open floor. He's like, dude, this dude 7'7", shot a guy, Sham got him, folks, and everything. But, yeah, I think the thing about the football was, and, you know, when your wife sits down and, you know, Michelle, she's a big sports lady. Donna, she just listens for the halftime show, and so she just wanted to sit there and wait for damn Beyonce to come on. That was her whole thing, was waiting for Beyonce, because the football games were not competitive at all, either one of them. They really were not. And, you know, in watching the basketball aspect of it, you know, still two of the biggest stars in this league is LeBron and Steph. And they put on a show last night. And it's one of those things where I know, after the game, LeBron's like, yeah, I love the NFL. But, you know, this is our day, you know. And luckily for him, it looked like it, because the games were horrible and his game was great. And so, but, yeah, it was good to sit down and watch both of them.
Yeah, I agree. The football was on because it was football and I have Netflix. Like,
right.
And obviously the second game, you know, come on, who didn't want to see Beyonce? Stop it.
Man.
31-2. The Ravens win. This game was over at halftime,
yes,
to be honest with you, right? The Texans couldn't do jack. And so I agree. Like, I'm waiting for the halftime show. with Beyonce, man, she was lovely.
She was great, man. Hey, again, it was a great show. Now, I'm not the biggest. I'm not saying I'm not big because my wife loves Beyonce. I'm cool with it, whatever. Like, I ain't gonna just sit up there and say, "Baby, play some Beyonce." But I mean, because Mama was there and everything, like, she put on an absolute show. I didn't know what she was gonna do. That was like the country album or something. I was like, oh, and I didn't put two and two together. I was like, oh, it's in Houston. She's from Houston, country music, Texas. It all makes sense to me. And so I thought she was outstanding. I did.
Yeah, man. And you know, the crazy thing is, Randy Mack in today, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. As we said, a little mashup of the shows. And I'm digging it because I love Randy and I love, you know, Andy and Randy in the middays. But I tell you, this is ushered in what is now going to become the future of the NFL on Christmas Day. And I know that the NFL has played on Christmas Day in years past, but there was a long time in between, like in the 80s, and then you get to the 90s. There was a huge break where they were just like, nah. And it's one of the reasons why, by the way, that the NBA snuck in there and was like, hey, let's play on Christmas Day.
Right.
And it's kind of become a thing. And you put five marquee games. I mean, think about it. Luka left the game yesterday, but you had Luka and Kyrie playing. You had Ant-Man playing. You had Embiid and Boston playing. You had Golden State LA, to your point. Denver, Joker, right? And Durant. I mean, you had all this star power. That's what the NBA tries to do. And here comes the NFL. and to your point, Randy, about LeBron, and I love him, but, you know, you just got bodied, bro.
Yes.
I mean, like, seriously, the league is the league. And even though the games are crap, I don't know what the ratings were yet, but I'm guaranteeing you that everybody that had Netflix and is an NFL fan watched, and there were people who signed up yesterday because they didn't want to be left out. And so I'm with you. I just think this is going to be the new thing, like the new, where you have the Super Bowl performance, which is still going to be a big deal, but you're also going to have this Christmas Day thing now where they're going to have a huge artist, and that person will perform, and they'll have two games or whatever on Christmas. Randy, the only thing I don't like, and I want your perspective on this, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You always can find us, guys, 404-726-0929. You can text us, follow us on social media, Twitter, I do not call it X, and, of course, follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game. Randy, three games in 11 days?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Carl, and the thing about it, I've been there one time in Miami. We had, I think it was 3-12, and it's a bear.
Oh.
And it is a bear to have to do and everything like that, Carl. But, I mean, I think the biggest thing is they're trying to oversaturate the market. And then you think about on Thanksgiving, you put your two of your biggest stars in the league on that day. You put Patrick Mahomes, you put Lamar Jackson, two of the biggest stars on that day, and both of them obviously had great games yesterday. But, yeah, I think that when you talk about, you know, the NBA and the NFL, like, the NFL was on Netflix, Carl. It wasn't on regular TV. Like you just said, people were like subscribing yesterday just so they weren't gonna be left out. Now make sure that, you know, when that trial's over, set an alarm. All right, set your alarm. All right, I'm a victim of those things, but set your alarm and everything so you know when you need to cancel that free subscription that you got yesterday. But yeah, it's amazing that they can go to this streaming thing, and you know, I hate the fact that, because it looks like, Carl, I hope it doesn't go to that point where you start, everything's going to be streaming from the NFL.
I hate it.
Because there's so much money in it and everything. We all know how much money Amazon gave them. Well, I'm pretty sure that Netflix cut a big check for them. And then you got Peacock, and you got all these streamers, and it's just unfortunate because, like you know, TV, it was always on ABC. Or, you know, or matter of fact, you would only get NFL games on Sunday and Monday. And then when I got a league, it was outside of Thanksgiving, everybody started playing on Thursday. You remember that with the Color Rush and
then all
that other crap they tried to throw out there. And now they're talking about a Wednesday game, Carl. A Wednesday, not a Thursday, because next year Christmas is going to be on Thursday, so automatically.
Right.
But it was on a Wednesday, Carl. Wednesday, you know, and so it was just, you know, the NFL, they, like you said, they just bodying the NBA. I mean, it's bad enough that they talk about the ratings in the NBA and how where they are as far as the falling and all that, but yet you're still trying to contend to compete with not just pro football but college football now. It's just an unfair matchup for them.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, whether you took it all in, like we kind of did, watched, you know,
million.
watched both, or you took in just one or the other, or your time was occupied yesterday. You had choices, and it's rare that we get the NFL on a Wednesday, to your point. I'll say this. Patrick Mahomes is the only player now to have played on every day of the week except Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday's normally the off day for NFL guys, but at some point the NFL is going to play on Tuesday.
They're going to figure out, Carl, they're looking for every Avenue. Tuesday, huh? Okay, so let's see. We'll let them play. The teams that play on Monday night, we'll have two Monday night games, right? And then whoever, winner or loser, whatever, we'll come around and give them a whole week and let them play Tuesday. It's coming. Oh, it's believe coming. You let one of these big streaming people want to buy a Tuesday. Because we all out the way with the whole player safety and all that crap. You let somebody throw some money at the NFL for a Tuesday game. The NFL will be playing on Tuesday. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, I totally agree. By the way, what'd you get into yesterday? What were you drinking, man?
Man, I tell you what I was doing, man. It was that damn – I was on that because my man Dan, people from Chattanooga Whiskey, they had dropped off some Chattanooga – and believe me, I got plenty of it at the house. They dropped off some new ones. And I was doing that because the only time I drink eggnog, Carl, is Christmas Eve. And so, obviously, did all that and everything and chasing that with Bush and everything. And so, yesterday, you know, we go to our neighbor's house, neighbor Bob, Miss Libby. They always have Christmas breakfast. And then me and Bob drinking bagels at 9:30 in the morning. And then, you know, you're like, well, might as well just keep the party started, Carl. You know, yeah, bring some Chattanooga whiskey on over here, baby. And so, yeah, it's one of them nights, man. But I was in the bed by like 9:30, though.
I feel you.
Passed
yeah,
out. Yeah.
They have, if I'm correct, because I think I have it, a single barrel Chattanooga. It's really good, man. Yes. It's really good stuff. And so to your point, yeah, the eggnog thing, you're right. This is like, it's like turkey, right? I mean, I don't cook turkey or bake turkey every damn week, but like Thanksgiving, I'm all about the turkey. Christmas, I'm all about the eggnog.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To your point, but you start mixing and chasing, and boy, it'll catch up on you real quick.
It caught me, Carl. it caught me. I was like, it was like 6 o'clock, and I'm getting out of bed this morning. I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? Let's sleep. And so I went down on the couch and laid there at about 9 o'clock because they went up to Chattanooga down in the boys. They went up to Chattanooga to go to the aquarium and all that stuff for the day. And so I was like, I'll have fun. You know, but I was like, damn, why, if I had to go with a day at 11 o'clock, boy.
It would have been tight.
It would have been tight. I got the opportunity to lay around for a little bit, Carl. Eat me some leftover barbecue. Yeah. Got myself back together. Now I'm all the way back now. I'm all the way back.
We hope you are all the way back as well. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That is Randy Mack, guys. A little mashup show today. We're going to have some fun between now and 7. We got a lot to chop up. Coach Raheem Morris is going to join us. Zach Harrison is going to join us on the defensive side. But when we come back, how does Michael Penix follow up that first start? We need him to be really damn good on Sunday night. Absolutely. We're going to talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The All-Star team working today. Glad I'm not the only one working. No, Jonathan, we are here for you. As I tweeted back to him, we are working today. Brian Smith hits us up and says, Dukes, I'm really looking forward, and Randy, to hearing what Zach Harrison has to say. He says, I'm a resident of Central Ohio. Listen, Zach's been playing well.
He has.
And he's coming along, man. Like, he's got the size and the talent to be really good. But, Randy, you know this, man. Sometimes it takes guys a little while, man. And I think what they're asking him to do now in this defense is kind of fitting to his skill set a little bit more. And so we'll see what he has to say. But Brian, I'm with you. I think he is going to be a guy that, you know, again, we can count on. I'm not going to tell you he'll be a superstar or any of that. But I do see improvement and progress with his play, Randy.
I think the biggest thing as a young player is the opportunity you get. And a lot of time it's the opportunity that you earn. The coaches see you practicing well. You know, they see you learning the system, and they see you doing those different things. And, you know, when they drafted him, Carl, we were like, well, what is he going to play? Is he a five technique that moves inside to the, on nickel runs, rushes, and all those things? Now, Matthew Judon, and we'll talk to him, owes him half that ball. All right, because he's the one that tipped the ball to Matthew Judon. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that you want to see, because what's one of the things that we talk about with this team as far as the GM, the players that you drafted? Are they contributing? Now, he hasn't – obviously, the quarterback this year is finally getting to play. But you had Trice, and you had expectations of him. He's done, Carl. I mean, then you got what's the linebacker, number 40? I saw he was out there last game. Thanks, Orin. So you want to see – and these guys, these young dudes, get in there and get an opportunity, because one thing about it, Carl, their contract's coming up soon. and you want to see them to be able. Are you going to be a part of this future, man? And I know you call him Jonathan. I call him J Dub. All right, that's J Dub. That's our main man.
Yeah, one of our loyalists.
He was out there in Vegas with his car.
He travels.
One of the best brothers you'll ever meet in your life, man. But yeah, we working on a day after Christmas. Now I got. Is this the first year, Carl? I thought we were always off on the 26th after Christmas. Or I don't know. I can't remember, Carl.
I got to be honest, and I'm just keeping it real with you. I done raised so much hell about these holidays over the years. Because there was a time, and you know, I can say this now. You know, the radio station is what it is, and it's established, and it's the number one station. But there was a time we worked all holidays when we first started.
Yes.
But we got to a point where I was like, why are we not off? And then they were like, well, you can have comp days. And then we went away from that. Yep. And so
you taught me about them comp days, Carl. Yeah, I remember before I was full-time, I was thought you said, this is how you do it, Randy. All right, you work on this day right here.
So you get maneuver.
Comp day maneuver for when the holidays come, and you got man, you talk about them comp days, man. Always.
But to your point, I thought we were too. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And to our man Conti's point, or to his credit, you know, here's the thing. And no matter where you work, everybody wants off, right, for the holidays. Most people. There's very few people like, nah, I'm going to work. I don't have anybody. But everybody wants off. You can only give everybody so much time off. So,
right. You
know, it's one of those things. But, yeah, I'm with you. I thought that, you know, we could have had, like, these three crappy games on today in college football and may have been just chilling and drinking more. But either way, we are here for you. Jonathan's a big Falcon fan, man. He's been down with us for a long time. Vicky, this is funny, and then we got to get to this Michael Penix stuff that we're going to talk about as part of our daily download. But Vicky says, on Christmas Eve, I had a glass of red wine and watched Die Hard. Now, she's laughing, but she says, here's the funny thing. I just got into an argument again, and I say argument, a discussion, with my wife about Die Hard. We're sitting at the table, we're eating, and Die Hard is on. And so I put it on, and I'm like, oh, this puts me in the Christmas spirit even more so. And she's like, that's not a Christmas movie.
Oh, no.
I said, now you're going to go there? And she goes, I heard y'all talking about this the other day. And I said, yes, it's a movie made around Christmas time, which makes it a Christmas movie. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, here we are having this discussion. So, Vicky, I feel you on that. I mean, like, I totally agree with you. And she's been saying, you know, Christmas Eve was great because Die Hard was on. There are movies that get you in the spirit. I don't know if there's one for you, Randy, but my point is, I totally vibe with what she's saying, and then I'm arguing with Michelle about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Here we go again.
Yeah, and it seems like that's like one of those debates. I'm all for, like, if you think so, fine. I really am, Carl. I really am.
You sounded like Dave Chappelle when you said
that.
Ain't no halfway with it, Randy. You got to be one side or the other with it, man.
I can't because I'm all one. You know me. I'm one of the people, Carl. I'm like, whatever you want. If that's how you view it, then fine. You know what I mean? I remember a long time ago, a good friend of mine, one of my good partners, we do a lot of business together. He owned a lot of like video stores, you know, with the old tapes and everything like that and everything. And so he would have this debate about where he should put Die Hard at around the holidays, because, you know, they have a section where it's the Christmas movies and everything like that. And he said that he would put it over there because more people than not referred to it as a Christmas movie. So I was like, all right, dude. But so that's where I got my opinion of, if you think it's a Christmas movie, then fine. I love watching Die Hard any time of year. I love the Nakatomi Towers. People be sleeping on Powell. All right, Powell saved the day. All right, that brother Carl Winslow. Carl Winslow saved the day. I don't care what nobody say. All right, Carl Winslow saved the day. He was persistent, Carl. You know, we get flipped over in a car. He was persistent with it, all right? And so, I do. I'm always behind Carl Winslow. And, you know, if there's certain characters that you always call him by their name, that's Carl Winslow no matter what.
Yeah, you're right, though. The unsung hero in the movie. I totally agree. So, Vicky, thanks for sharing. It's Dukes and Bell. Big O, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
How does Michael Penix follow up his first start? Does he need to be better? Does he just need to be as efficient as he was in week one? It was week one for him. Mm-hmm. As a rookie, we've got two games left, guys. They're both big. This Commanders game, though, really with the playoff implications and it being a Sunday night, this feels a big, and it feels like a playoff game. Randy, what does Penix need to do to follow up that first
start? I'll tell you the funny thing, Carl, because when me and Bunk were out there in Vegas, and the guy who was our host, you know, when you go out there, he came to, he was like, oh, they just flexed the Falcons in Commanders game to Sunday. And I'm like, for what? And then you're like, oh, well, you know what? Because, you know, usually, and we'll go back to what happened last week. Like, the Cowboys beating the Bucks don't happen to the Falcons, Carl. You know that, right? That usually don't happen to this squad. And so now, you make it a bigger deal, because the thing about it, the Commanders still have an outside, chance at winning the NFC East, because, you know, Jalen Hurts is banged up. He's with the concussion right now. I saw they signed Ian Book. So usually, you know this, Carl, when they sign a quarterback or in a position this late in the week on a practice squad, there's doubts about what's going to happen at that position. And so, but, you know, I think the thing with Michael Penix is, and I'm going back to what you said, I think he's got to play better. I'm not saying he played bad, but he's got to improve off of that performance. Now, you take away, you add those four drops to what he, as far as he did what, incompleted three passes. And I thought that he was well. I thought he processed really good, Carl. I thought that the pressure from the Giants didn't speed him up. And I thought that was going to be my biggest thing, was I was curious how that game rush, Carl, that NFL game rush, how he would handle it. And, again, they played well around those five guys protecting him. I thought Bijan, and I say this all year, Carl, this young man has grown so much as a football player, as a three-down back in the blitz pickup. I thought he was outstanding. And, you know, but the thing with Washington is they got that dude, that young boy who's under center, they got that whole team. But Washington ain't that good, Carl. If you want to look totality of the team, I mean, they got some scary terror who didn't practice today. They got some dudes. But as an overall football team, he has them believing. And this young boy right here, Carl, I mean, he had that little lull, you want to call it a rookie wall, whatever, but he's bounced back in a major way. I still think they lose if Jalen Hurts plays that whole game. But, yeah, this is a playoff-type game because, one, the Falcons, they need this game to go to the playoffs. And, two, the Commanders are looking at it from a standpoint where they don't know what's going to happen in Philly. They're right there. And can they figure out a way to win this that NFC East? So, yeah, I just think Michael Penix got to play better, but when you say better, I think people look at, well, he got those three or four more touchdowns. No, you just got to keep improving on week to week when you're a young quarterback.
Let's hear Raheem Morris talk about how pleased he was with MPJ's composure.
Yeah, I was really pleased with his composure, his poise, his ability to click through progressions. You know, there's a couple of throws that he wants back, you know, the back shoulder fade to Drake. He probably wants a little bit higher. The missed connection on the early third down, we missed it right before he missed the field goal. He probably wants that back. You know, the decision at the end of the half, you know, not necessarily on him, but, like, he just feels like he can make a better play there and in the half with points. But realistically, man, you know, it was a pretty clean game at the quarterback position.
Whatever,
and I'm very pleased with what he did and how he did it and the support that he had around him.
Whatever. You can't make no better throw than that down on goal line. Whatever. You can't make no better throw than that.
Ra was talking about the drop passes. You mentioned this. Was that a result of the new quarterback under center? Here's what he said about that.
We kind of talked about that. You know, we figured that would happen. You know, it was a little bit different zip on the ball with Michael. Probably catch you off guard, particularly in the dome. That first play with Ray-Ray. That keeper to Drake. Those are the two drops you're referring to that I remember right off the back early. We talked about the reps with these guys, not having as many. So things like that are going to happen. But I do like the fact how we're able to keep playing and pushing and watch the guys get better and better as we went. So that's a positive sign as well.
The biggest improvement since the bye week, guys, has been our pass rush.
Yeah.
And everybody's asking why. So when we asked Caden Ellis this a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, and he was like, fellas, I'll tell y'all after the offseason what the change is, but we're going to keep it close to the vest. Raheem Morris was asked about whether he's helping with these adjustments. Listen to this.
So you get a point in a time that you get a chance to go back and evaluate what you have and who you have. And like we all think we know all of these players, but you really don't know these players until you actually have them and you have them at your disposal. And you're able to watch them go rush. And then when you get a chance to watch them walk away and get away, and, you know, Jimmy takes himself and takes a little self-scout like we talked about, and I get away and get a little self-scout. And then when you come back together with a collaborative effort with our D-line coaches and Jock and Jay and all the guys, Timo and all the guys that are involved, you have some thoughts and some visions for what people can do and what they can really do well, and you just bring it to the table. And then, you know, Jimmy can give me the credit, but it's up to all of us really to put them in and implement the things and understand what we want to get done in order for us to rush as one. So when all those things happen, you got to give credit not just to me, but like to really our entire coaching staff for having the humility, first of all, and to come together and do those things and not being just egotistically driven that it's going to be a one-man show that has to have 20 sacks. But how do we rush together in order to get our things to work how we want to make them work?
Well, I think, you know, and I heard him, Kate, because we had Caden on during training camp, and I think one of the biggest things I remember I asked him, Carl, was, because you remember when they signed him, he had like 7.5 sacks, and so you're like, okay, well, is he just an outside pass rusher? And he explained the different ways that the Saints were using him, and then you're like, when he got here, he wasn't used that way. It seems to me this past month, when his sack total has jumped, Carl, he's been used a lot how he was as far as just coming off the edge and winning the one-on-one matchups. He's had a sack of 4 straight games. I mean, this dude has been balling lately, Carl. And so, yeah, obviously, because, you know, we talked to the coaches, and you know, everybody says the right thing. We're close. They're rushing well in practice, but you're not seeing the results on Sunday. Now you're starting to see it. Just like you said, some self-scouting. Him and Jimmy, like, okay, this is what we were doing. Let's see if we can put this guy at this position and see where he gets it done. I do believe that that is what happened. They went back to the drawing board, Carl, and looked at it from a standpoint where – and then they're getting healthy too. And that's one of the biggest things is, like, we always talk about that phrase, next man up. Well, I mean, it would better to have the first man up, and then the next man up can go back to being the next man, you know, instead of being the next man up. And I thought that they've done a great job of having Caden Ellis be a part of this pass rush.
No doubt about it. It is our daily download, guys. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
That boy is something else, man. Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, he threw for 300 yards. He hasn't done that since last season. Do you guys realize they are 15-1?
Yes.
And he is not thrown for 300-plus? It's incredible to think how the Chiefs continue to win. And I want you to hear Mike Tomlin real quick before I get your thoughts, Randy, talking about giving Mahomes a short field, and they did that pretty much all day.
You know, he's a quality player. What can be said about him that hadn't been said in terms of his talent? When I think about today, man, I think about the short fields we gave him. The first touchdown drive was 40 yards. We turned the ball over in the second half. I think it was a 20 in that half. And so, you know, I know a guy like him with his talent level and resume, you can't give him short fields and things of that nature. And so, you know, that's where my energies are, what we can control, what we do.
What hasn't been said that's already been said? I mean, like,
you say he's a quality player.
that's typical Mike Tomlin. They get the number one seed, Randy, which he said was the most important thing. But all of a sudden, like, here's what's scary. He's played average for the most part and then been able to win games. But yesterday, like, if you're able to turn this on with a hurt ankle like this, man, they're scary. They're scary.
Oh, yeah. And the thing with him is they talked about, I think, the hardest thing when you have those injuries, and you saw a lot of it yesterday, is the slowing down part of it. That's when it hurts, Carl. You saw him kind of being tender when he was running out of bounds and trying to slow down. But as long as he's out there, and now they figured out different roles for these players. And I think the one thing that was the offensive line shuffle, Carl, they're still not the best, but it's the best unit, the best five at the position where they have right now. And then, obviously, Kelce still doing his thing. He breaks Tony G's record yesterday as far as touchdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs. Worthy's not having to be the number one guy. He's going to be the gimmick fast guy. You got Hop as the possession receiver. And so they're playing well. But that's crazy when you just said it is daggone Christmas, and he just thrown his first 300-yard passing game. I mean, I know the biggest thing when people talk about is that all the one possession scoring games they won. But the thing about it, Carl, you said it first, they're 15-1.
It's nuts.
They're 15-1. On the way to and got the number one seed. So, I mean, Chris Jones didn't play yesterday, so he's done for the year. He's not going to play. They might as well rest him up. Obviously, they're going to try to figure out how you get Kelce and you get Travis some rest. But, yeah, all that, and yet they're 15-1.
It's crazy.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game.
That was some flag football quarterback we played way back in the spring.
Oh, my God.
When this dude was talking about how he was better than Patrick Mahomes. All right, real quick, we got to get to story three because there was another game on yesterday, and Lamar did something very special.
Story number three.
And that is he surpasses Michael Vick in all-time rushing yards as a quarterback.
Yep.
Vick did it, guys, in 13 seasons. Lamar has done it in 7.
Crazy.
It's crazy. We're talking about over 6,000 yards for Lamar. And here he is throwing the ball to Isaiah Likely. As we said, this game was done at halftime. They beat the Texans. Texans scored 2 points. It was just over. But I want you to hear this because, again, he's doing all the things. He's my MVP right now.
Play action. Lamar rolls right. Pumps once. Pumps twice. Now he steps back. Backpedaling. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown, Isaiah Likely. And Lamar Jackson does it again.
What a play, Carl. Like, Danielle Hunter is right there, one of the best pass rushers in football. Excuse me. And Lamar is just playing. He's my MVP, Carl.
Yeah, all right. Hands down.
He's going to have 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 1,000 yards rushing.
Dude, that's insane.
With four interceptions.
Yeah, it's and those, that's the number. The number of picks, right? Kirk Cousins, we know this, led the league and still does, as we speak, in interceptions. This dude's thrown four. It's crazy. All right, we're coming back. Randy Mack's in the day. We're hanging out. A little mashup show, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, we got to talk about the eye-popping stat that the Falcons achieved in their last game, and we're going to need more of it next. It is Dukes and Bell. Randy Mack in today, hanging out with me the day after Christmas. Yes, your boys are working.
Yep.
My man Big O's behind the glass, our engineer. What's up, Randy?
Oh no, I was like, yeah, we are in this thing. We are in the house, Carl. But like, we working. But like, you are like the hardest working man, because you used to be Mike Conti. Now Mike just he's our boss now. But Carl, you got like 14 different jobs. Like 14 different jobs. Like tonight, you're down there. You're down there at State Farm. Obviously, the Bulls are in town to take on the Atlanta Hawks. But yeah. Like, you're everywhere. You got the TV. You still got the podcast with Baldy in there. I mean, you got everything going on, man. So that's my thing. Like, but you're the empty nester now. And I think that's the most important thing about it. Because now you get it's just you and Shell.
Yeah.
Like, that is the life.
It is. I can't lie to you.
It's the life, man.
It is. I think I told this story, when we dropped her off. And you asked, matter of fact, I think you asked when we got back. You're like, how was it? Because all my friends who have kids that are finishing high school, that are making that transition, whether their kids are whatever they're doing, leaving, going to service, tech school, it doesn't matter. But there's this transition that goes on. And I told you, like, we dropped her off. We're in the car coming back. We're driving back in the truck. We're laughing and having fun and bumping music. And then we got home and it was quiet.
Yes.
Because we're so used to, like, friends being over and right. Sleepovers and what's she doing and where's she going and what's happening. And if you have children, for those of you who do, you get this. You totally understand. And so I won't tell you that your life is about them, but it really is, mm-hmm. right? It is about the kids and what they do every single day and where they're going and making sure they're safe. But it was quiet. And then, we got back. And I remember like, well, I guess I'll clean up because I was just like, looking for something to do. And I walked out in the garage and I came back in the house and my wife was standing there in the kitchen. And I just told this story to somebody else, Randy. And to your point, like, I was like, you all right? And she's like, no, I'm not. And she's bawling, right?
Yeah.
So now I feel like, oh, well, damn, let me go hold it because I'm not feeling that way. And as soon as I grab her and we're hugging, I'm like, I'm not feeling good either.
Hey, Carl. When my boy went to college, I was like, and he left because he drove. I gave him a big old hug, Carl. And then he calls me. I was emotional and everything, but I had to come here to work and everything. So he calls me. He's like, Dad, I forgot. So he forgot something that he needed. So he had to drive down here. And so I had to do the goodbye for a second time, right? And then I come back up here, and he's looking at me like, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine, man. I'm fine. Yeah, but it's a different.
So to your point about that empty nester thing, though. But what the funny part about that story is, so we literally did that for like 10 minutes, right? Where we just like, because you realize, and I said this to Mike, like your life changes, right? It just does. And so I said, let's go get a burger and a beer.
Yep.
And we laughed, and we went and got a burger and a beer, and it was fine. And now you know this, too. When they come home, you're like, when y'all leaving?
Yep. Yeah, buddy. Because
my house was clean when you got here. There's everywhere, all over the place. When are y'all going back?
Like, so, you have a daughter. Like, is every room trends like makeup and
every like, damn room.
Like, pick your stuff up, Kyle. They're good. And the thing with me is like I'm always the butt of everybody's joke, Carl. They always TikToking me and making fun of me and treat me like I'm old. And so it was because you remember, Carl. You remember I lost my phone in Vegas, right?
I did. Yes.
Lost my phone in Vegas, right? And so I got it back and everything. And my kids like this is the man that just y'all got y'all like your Christmas stuff, right? This the guy. They got that for you.
I
They're going to sit up there and say, ain't nobody want that old phone anyway. That's why they found it.
Oh, like, my goodness. Wow.
Y'all, with your new iPhones, y'all think y'all climb my old ass SE. But yeah, Carl just clown me. They didn't nobody want that phone, Dad. That's why they gave it to the lost and found. If it was a 14, whatever this new number is, they wouldn't have given it back. Like, yeah. That's how they do you. That's how you do it.
It's so true. But no, man. Yeah. So look, yeah, I'm busy. I'm blessed. But no, at the end of the day, that whole empty nester thing is real. But listen, I know you got everybody at the house right now. Everybody, for those people who have children, having the kids at home during this time of year is great, man. It's wonderful. So we hope you had a great holiday. I want to ask you about these turnovers, Randy, because we got an NFL blitz coming up at 3:00. We're going to talk to Raheem Morris, 3:45. His coach will join us as he normally does here on the show. And Zach Harrison is going to join us in the 4:00 hour. You got two pick sixes. Now, you're not going to get that every week.
Nope.
But we need turnovers against the Commanders, man. Like, you cannot go into this game and expect to really either take a significant lead or maybe be in this game and put it out of reach without these turnovers. I'm not looking for a pick six, but those two plays last week were monumental. And I'm just saying, that's a confidence builder for the Falcons. Got to create turnovers on Sunday, man.
Well, I think that's what got the party started, Carl. I mean, that's what got the party started last Sunday was the pick six by Jesse. And it looked like all his pick six. He just baits him, but then jumps it and takes it to the house. I mean, that's what he does. And you think about that. I mean, defensive scores, special team scores. I mean, that is such a big part of how teams win football games when you're in a lull the way that offense was. I mean, we were excited to see Michael Penix, but the offense really wasn't doing anything. You know, and then the defense, they come back, they get up that long drive and everything, and their backs are against the wall, and then Jesse comes and makes the play. Then, obviously, the young man, Zach Harrison, who we'll talk to in 4:00 hour. I mean, first of all, Evan Neal, what the hell are you doing, boy? What are you doing? Now, benefit the Falcons, so who cares what you were doing? And then Zach gets that big paw up, and then Judon, it just sits in his lap. And the funniest thing was the only lineman that saw Judon catch the ball tackled Drew Lock to get to, you know what I mean? He tackled him trying to get to Judon after he made the pick six. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you can have that kind of – you can turn defense to offense and the defense to score points for you, it's such a added bonus and everything like that. And because you look at what the Falcons did, and I do believe this, Carl, in that second half, once this game was under control, they went ahead and did some ball control, clock management type things like that. Don't let Michael throw the ball, put him in risk or anything like that. So I do think they would have scored more points. But I go back to something we – listen to Ra in the previous segment talking about the drops and it gets there ain't no excuse catch the damn ball Ray. He put it. I mean, I could see if like Ray had to dive or something like that. Car, he put it right on him.
So let me ask you this about the spin of the ball.
I don't believe in it. I never will. And I've played with a left-handed quarterback. All right, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't.
So it doesn't come. It doesn't come out differently.
Yeah, it does. But you still got to catch the damn ball. That's what they pay you to do. I'm not gonna say those. And it's different for the NFL because I played with Greeny at Georgia, and you know, on the college ball, it has that little white stripe. Right. And so yeah, it'll spin different. But the NFL, and you remember Jerry Rice made a big thing about it because of the whole thing with Steve Young and everything. Everybody made it seem like it. No, it's catch the damn ball. Catch the ball. I do believe that. Now, the one that Drake catch the ball, man. I think Drake is a dog, Carl. I think this dude is a big-time receiver. You got to make that play because big-time receivers make that play. When your quarterback pushes the ball or you're 6'5", you go grab the ball and you put him and that dude in the end zone together. I do believe that. But, yeah, I like the humbleness of this kid, Carl, because we got a chance to talk to him when we were at the hospital doing, you know, stuff with Mr. Blank at the hospital over here off of Druid Hills.
Yeah, you're talking about Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, talk about Michael. And Michael, I was asking him, Carl, about his preparation because you're the backup quarterback. They've already set a plan for you, telling you you're not going to play this year if we don't have to play you. But how do you prep for that? Because still, he was the backup, Carl. He was always one play away. And so the preparation for him, because they had yesterday off and everything for Christmas and things like that, I bet his answer's in that building.
Yeah, I agree.
I bet he was in that building.
I agree. I think you're absolutely right. Listen, he's not taking any of this for granted.
No.
And he also understands, you know, that facing Dan Quinn, and I'm sure Raheem has told him because he knows Dan Quinn is as good as anybody, being around him, being on his staff over the years, they're going to challenge you with some stuff that we're not going to be able to prepare for. And by the way, I wanted to mention this, and I don't know if you did, Randy. Did you see where we signed? D-Led said we have just signed, and this is interesting, Falcon fans, mm-hmm. Emory Jones to run scout team this week. Yeah. And I just want you to think about that. So what they're telling you is, for whatever reason that you've been saying, hey, Cousins can't move, he's not mobile, well, he's not even able to prepare you for a guy like Jaden Daniels on the scout team. So they bring in Emory Jones to sign him to the practice squad. And I thought that was interesting because that tells you the level of preparation they're going to try to get into here with trying to face Jaden Daniels.
Well, he's the head, Carl. He's the head of that snake, talking about Jaden Daniels. And when you can find a way, because if Kurt was still a starting quarterback, they probably would not have signed Emory because Michael's taking all the first team reps. You got to get a guy in there because usually what they would do, Carl, when I'm trying to think back when we played Michael Vick, they would get like, because usually, you know, the best athletes back in high school would play quarterback, you know, but then, you know, they would transition to DB or something like that. And so whenever we played Mike, they would always bring in like a DB just to do the runaround part of it and things like that. And so this is going to be a situation where Emory's going to do a lot of that, those Jaden Daniels improvised plays. You know, they'll extend the play. They'll make it seem like, okay, well, they might have a sack. Okay, well, what we want you to do on this play, Emory, is we want you to extend it so we can work on our plastering in the back end and also our eyes, because the thing with Jaden is that Jaden, and you saw the play he made against Philadelphia, he can still go. He can run and do all those different things, but going back to what you were talking about as far as turnovers, they had five, Carl. They had five. He threw two picks.
I know.
And then they had, I think Brian Robinson had two fumbles. So they will put the ball on the ground. The biggest thing is that when it's on the ground, you got to fall on it. When he throws you the ball, because he's going to, as great as this young man has been, he'll give you a pass. He'll give you one, Carl, and he'll put it there where you, if you catch it, it's money time.
Yeah, we're going to need turnovers, guys. There's no doubt. I'm not saying two pick sixes. That would be great. But we're going to have to create some turnovers, and hopefully, as Randy said, he throws it to us. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy McMichael in today. A little mashup show, having some fun the day after Christmas. All right, we're coming back. When we do, we'll get into all the things that are going on around the NFL, including he won a state championship, and now he's back in the NFL.
Mm.
We'll tell you about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.